The medicine of East Asia is based on a science that does not hold itself separate from the phenomena that it seeks to understand. Our medicine did not grow out of petri dish experimentation or double-blind studies. It arose from observing nature and our part in it. East Asian medicine evolves not from the examination of dead structures, but rather from living systems with their complex, mutually entangled interactions. Welcome to Cheological. I'm Michael Max, the host of this podcast that goes in-depth on issues pertinent to practitioners and students of East Asian medicine. Dialogue and discussion have always been elemental to Chinese and other East Asian medicines. Listen into these conversations with experienced practitioners that go deep into how this ancient medicine is alive and unfolding in the modern clinic. When I first got to Taiwan, I was in a hurry to learn Chinese, to learn medicine, in a hurry to, get somewhere. And from that first week, I kept hearing people use the phrase in Chinese, man man lai, take your time. Dang it, I didn't have time to take it easy. I had things to do. Going slow and taking it easy, it didn't seem like a way to achieve my goals. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But over time, I learned there was more to this Chinese phrase, man man lai, than I realized. Later on in the show, I'm going to unpack these characters for you and the real meaning of the phrase, which I think you'll find not only helpful for yourself, but for your patients as well. Since 1979, Lhasa OMS, the largest acupuncture supplier in the U.S., has brought you the very best in supplies from top brands such as Sarin, DBC, Evergreen, and Meiwei. Fair prices, attentive customer service, and an unrivaled selection on supplies makes them a great go-to for your acupuncture clinic. Lhasa OMS helps to foster and support our acupuncture community by bringing you podcast shows like Cheological that help East Asian medicine practitioners to share their clinical experience and learn from each other. For over 40 years, Lhasa OMS has helped both practitioners and patients by donating needles and supplies that have helped millions in need, provided schools with resources to support the training of thousands of students, and given supplies to hundreds of clinics throughout the nation. Lhasa OMS, supporting our industry and your practice with tools for your clinic and mind. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Cheological. My guest today is Toby Daly. Toby is an acupuncturist with an undergraduate degree in food science from the California Polytech State University. And in 2006, he completed a PhD in classical Chinese medicine with Jeffrey Yuan. If you're a regular listener to the show, you've already heard him recently talking a bit about the Chinese Nutritional Strategies app, which he's created and he's sponsored the show with it a few times. We're not here to talk about that today, although we might touch in on it later. Instead, I've invited Toby to join us today on Cheological to talk about SAM, a Korean acupuncture method. You've heard about SAM, right? Yeah, I didn't think so. And that's why I've got Toby with me today. Toby, welcome to Cheological.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael.
I'm really psyched about this. I'm psyched about all my interviews, but I'm particularly interested in this one because I heard about SAM acupuncture via a friend of mine that has spent a lot of time studying in Taiwan, and he's been to Korea a lot, and he's just kind of one of these traveling, rovering scholar kinds of guys. So I've had a little bit of exposure to it, but I've never met anybody who's actually studied it or does it. So I'm curious to begin here with your introduction. How did you come across this particular method?
I was traveling in Southeast Asia and really sick. I know you guys can't see me right now, but I'm 6'4", 190 pounds, and I was about 150 at that point.
Just
really sick. And so I at that point, I had no understanding about Chinese medicine or acupuncture or anything. And I met a monk, and we traveled together for a few weeks, and he kept saying to me, "Wow, you're not doing so well. You know, let me help you." And my background at that point was all science. My grandfather was a medical doctor. You know, so I, putting needles in me, I didn't think would do anything.
Right.
So anyways, he was so nice, such a nice man that at some point I thought, that's not going to do me any help, but you know, this will make him feel better if I let him give me acupuncture. And
you're a compassionate man.
Yeah, you know, he was just so sweet, but I thought, well, you know, this will be good for him. So he gave me acupuncture. I got up from that treatment and I had a full meal and three desserts. And it had been about 3 or 4 months. I hadn't really been able to eat anything.
Wait a minute. So you got up from that treatment. It wasn't like you had a night's sleep. You had a day or two. You got up and you started eating.
Immediately.
Wow.
So, you know, my mind switched pretty quickly from this is some kind of voodoo, you have to believe in it kind of thing to like, whoa, that's very powerful. Just four needles.
Right. What? You know? Just four needles. What the heck was that?
Right.
So basically you were, you know, a lot of people have stories similar to this. They got sick in some way, but you're the first person I've talked to that learned something from a traveling monk. Where did he learn it? Do you know? I mean, well, actually, let me back up for a moment. Is he the one who taught you this stuff?
Yes.
He is. Okay. Tell us a bit about where this acupuncture comes from. Where did he learn it? And where does, you know, how do we trace this back? What's the lineage here?
Right. So Sa'am is, he's a Korean Buddhist monk, and he was a traveling monk. And part of his meditation attainment, he, you know, sometimes things come along for the ride with meditation attainments. He got a deep insight into medicine. So then he just started performing acupuncture. It is about 400 years ago in Korea, so we don't know the details. Mm-hmm. But then his followers started recording his treatments. And now we have that text now, the 400-year-old text.
This is not the first time that there's been some sort of a master who didn't really write stuff down, but his students did.
Right. I mean, he was a wandering monk, just a bowl and robes, you know, no monastery even. So, you know, he was just doing his thing in the forest.
Right. So he had some sort of insight, something came through for him while meditating. He's got a system of acupuncture that came through, that's been transmitted. Tell us a bit about this system. How's it different than the stuff that we learned in school? You know, I mean, we've all got a background in TCM because, you know, that's what you need to get to walk through the gate of medicine here. How's this stuff different?
Right. I mean, it's based on all the theories that we know, yin yang, five element, six conformations. It just combines it in a really unique way. It's based all on the classic text itself. It's not like he had really something outside of the classic text. It's just the combination, how he put everything together.
Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through a case so that we can get a sense of how you're looking at somebody, how you're diagnosing, and how that actually translates into the points that are chosen?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I really like, maybe your listeners to consider using this at some point, you know, for a case. It's, I mean, a lot of the theoretical thing is complicated, but the actual point selection itself is pretty straightforward. So I was thinking about this yesterday when I knew we were going to be talking, and yesterday I had a case, bladder channel stagnation due to cold.
Mm-hmm. Very common thing, right? Tai-yang cold.
Yeah. Super common. Right. For this technique, I'm trying to think about the best way to approach this one clearly. So this technique pairs organs differently than we usually do. This is from, I believe it's chapter 24 on the Su Wen, where they pair the six conformations together. And so for Tai Yang, they pair with Shao Yin.
Right. Yes.
You're familiar with that one. So
the tradition that Feng Shilun and Dr. Hu Shishu, yeah, there are some other people that really look at this six confirmation thing and talk about the same thing. That's really fascinating. So tell us more about this pairing of the Tai Yang and the Shao Yin.
Right. So this pairing is urinary bladder and heart, which we usually don't ever pair, but it makes a lot of sense. So for this system, urinary bladder is obviously a water element, and taiyang, which is associated with cold water. So urinary bladder for this system, we always think about as just really icy cold water. And then it's paired with heart, which is fire, obviously, which we know, and xiaoyin, which is fire. So it may, you know, when you stop and think about it, it's an obvious pairing that we don't
usually think. It is obvious.
So yeah, you know, right? we don't usually think about that as a pairing, bladder and heart. So anyway, so this case, I diagnosed her as having icy cold stagnation in the bladder trajectory. And so I used xiaoyin, heart. I tonified the heart and to counteract that cold, you know, to put fire plus fire into the icy cold situation. So as usual, you know, when it's a real clear case like that, it's very successful. So she was in severe pain, and then just within a few moments of the treatment, complete release and just smiled.
Wow. So what was her problem?
Like a sciatica, but not like a gallbladder down the side sciatica, but more, you know, bladder channel depth down the back of the leech.
Got it. Okay. That's a pretty common thing. I think a lot of us see that, I mean, all the time, right?
Yes. And so I was thinking about for your listeners, you know, we always have our usual ways we like to treat that, you know, two or three things that we usually do. So I was hoping your listeners would consider in the future, you know, if their normal methods don't work or aren't as satisfactory, they could consider something like
that. Or if you're just curious and you want to try something new, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. You'd be really adventurous. Yeah, then.
So I'm familiar with this idea when I'm thinking about herbal medicine. Right. And there's a lot of, you know, there's things like Ma Huang, Fu Zi Xi Xin Tang, you know, you might use that for a situation like this. But we're not talking herbs here. We're talking acupuncture. So when you say that you tonified the heart to bring some fire into the urinary bladder, what points were you using? How does that actually fall out as an acupuncture prescription?
Yeah, that's a great, I definitely want to get to that. But it's interesting that you brought up herbs. Yeah, I think of this as like really extreme herbs treatment. You know, we have like all our harmonizing formulas and things like that. But this is really, I mean, between heart and urinary bladder, you're choosing, is this Shergao or is it Fuzi? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're really going all in with this treatment. So you really want to make sure you diagnose properly. So yeah, so this point combination is a strong point combination. So it's heart 3, heart 9, kidney 10, and liver 1. And we take the opposite side of wherever the pain is.
Okay.
Just one side.
So this is all on one side. All these needles.
Yes.
And is there any particular order that they go in?
Top to bottom.
That's easy enough. So kidney 3... Oh man, I'm going to show my ignorance here. Right? That is the, I'm just trying to think five element correspondences. It's the,
it's kidney 10.
No, but I was thinking heart 3. Yeah,
so, heart 3. Yes. Heart 3 is, do you want to struggle on it or do you want me to tell you?
No, I want you to tell me because I'm totally not coming up with it at the moment.
So it's the water point on the heart channel.
It's the, okay. That makes sense. And then kidney 10 is the water point. No, it's the earth point.
The water.
Kidney 10 is the water point?
I'll talk us all through this. Let me think about it and I'll talk us through it. So heart 3, it's a water point, right? So for heart 3, we would drain it because that's the check on the heart channel, in the heart channel. It's the water point on the fire channel. So mm-hmm. we drain that. And then we go to heart 9, which is the wood point on the fire channel, and we would...
Which is going to tonify it.
Right, tonify. And then down the leg, kidney 10, again, we drain, and then liver 1, we tonify.
Okay. Wow.
It's an all-in.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, there's no messing around with this.
Right. I mean, I always think about it like, I'm not a gambler, but I always think about like in the movies where they take all the chips and put them out forward, and that's really, the system does, you know, that's their approach. You know, it's a Fuzi for sure, or a Shergao for sure. You know, that's what we're putting into the system.
This is so helpful. to be able to know when we're dealing with a situation that is, is an all-in situation. Because in those kinds of situations, number one, usually we're a little bit nervous.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like, well, if I have this dialed in, I'm really going to help them. And if I don't have it dialed in, oops.
Right.
Right. And I think it's really useful too as a clinician to be able to take that very, very strong, that very directed, it's like, here's what I'm seeing, and I'm going to treat just that. There's no side, there's no training wheels on this thing. Either it's going to work and they're going to get better, or it's not going to work and they're probably going to get worse.
Yes, especially when I was first learning the system, I made some mistakes, and it's very clear, like with herbal medicine too, if you go over a strong formula and you make a mistake, it's very obvious you've made a mistake. But also it's very obvious if you're on the right track, usually within 5 minutes or so, there's definite change.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that if you, within 5 minutes, okay. So how long did the needle stay in?
Like usual, 20 minutes.
Usual 20 minutes. So is it possible that you could start a treatment and recognize that, oh, nope, wrong direction, and course correct in the middle?
Yes. If everything goes really bad right away, you would take out those needles and then put in urinary bladder plus, urinary bladder tonification 4 points, and that would counteract that.
Okay.
So it's got some built-in safety also.
When you do tonification and sedation with this, and it sounds like that aspect is really, really important, how do you tonify and how do you disperse? What's the protocol for that? How do you do that with this system?
Well, I mean, like we've been talking about for tonification is from chapter 69 in Nanjing, to tonify the mother. And then for sedation is we sedate the son.
Okay. So it's not so much about needle technique as it is antique point correspondence.
Well, yeah, all that, right? So also on each point, like we were talking about before for the heart three, we would go against the channel sedating technique, but leave the point open when you take it out. Yeah. So this is an important point though. So mostly I mean, it's possible for that case with that cold, we could have sedated the urinary bladder rather than tonifying the heart. But it's a win-win if we tonify the heart because we're just adding more to the system. I keep it more for like emergency cases or really, really severe cases where we actually drain one of the channels. I usually use the counterbalancing channel and tonify it.
Okay. Are there any books on this?
Yes, there's a translation of the Psalm text, but it doesn't. It jumps right into the combination. So we're kind of talking about the kindergarten level of this one. Where we take the 4 points and do exactly what's right. But Psalm himself in the text, he breaks these apart and combines them. So the text that's available is really good text, but it jumps right into college level combinations. And mostly what I use, and I've been using this 15 years, is the basic level. I do combine sometimes, but the basic level itself is plenty of power for me.
Let's go into the basics again a bit, because in some ways this sounds pretty simple, but it's easy to get confused. And I'd have to say, I mean, I get it with tonify the mother, and you sedate the, you use the control point, so to speak, to sedate. I mean, I get that. It's one thing to have that theory in my head. It's another thing to like really take it and dial it into the points.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's take another case and walk through it together. Because my suspicion is a lot of the listeners are following along and going, yep, that theory makes sense. Now, how do I do that?
Right.
Yeah. So how about another case? Maybe, something common that people see in clinic, like, allergies, allergic rhinitis.
Right. This system, does that really pretty well. And especially that's a good way to talk about, let's talk about another pairing, and then we'll talk about using allergies for that. So another pairing also from, I believe it's chapter 24 in Sukhum, is they pair Tai Yin and Yang Ming.
Tai Yin and Yang Ming.
Right. So we'll look at the lung, large intestine pairing. So Tai Yin we know has to do with moisture, right? And and lung is metal, so which has to do with dryness. So it's a really nice combination for wet, dry problems that we come run across sometimes. And then the stomach, which is Yang Ming, which has to do with dryness, and is earth, which has to do with dampness. So again, it's a wet, dry combination problem. So a lot of times for allergies, if I have a patient that's really thin, meaning that they're really dry on the inside, really yin deficiency, with a lot of dampness, congestion, things like that, then I'll use these pairings.
And how would that work with the tonification and dispersal?
Right. So for a case where there's really thin dryness on the inside and moisture on the outside, I would use lung. And for a case where someone's really heavy and like a whole bunch of dryness, like especially like dry congestion, dry cough, things like that, then I would use stomach for that.
Mm-hmm. So let's take that last one that you just talked about, where there's that dryness, they got that cough. What would those points look like? How would you needle that one up?
So again, so we would use, we would tonify his stomach, and we would use small intestine 5, stomach 41, stomach 43, and gallbladder 43.
Okay. I'm thoroughly confused. Why each one of these?
Because again, we're going to tonify the mother, and we're going to, in this case, also sedate the check on the stomach channel.
Okay, so the mother here is.
So the mother of earth,
Mother of earth is fire.
I'm just a clinician, Michael. So mostly, I don't when I'm with the patient, right? I don't think, oh, okay, who's the mother of this, right? So I really have to stop and textbook think about this. Yes, so small intestine 5, right, is fire point on fire channel.
Okay. Got it.
Right, and then, and like everything we did before, too, then we would sedate the wood, so on the gallbladder point, and then sedate the wood point on the earth channel, the stomach point, and then tonify the fire point on the earth channel, stomach 41.
On the earth channel, stomach 41. Okay. So thank you for letting me run you through the paces like this. As a clinician, I also don't often stop to think about these things. And if I do stop to think, I mean, it really kind of gets in the way of the practice in a way. So I suspect this is a little bit like learning to play music and playing scales as a way of learning to play music, right? Because at this point, it seems to me like you're in clinic, you see it, you diagnose it, and you go, okay, bang, these points.
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. I think that's a great thing. I just see these patients, and then my needle finger gets itchy, right, for these points.
Because you've got enough experience to know which ones to use that way. So, would you say that for anyone who would like to become facile with this and have their needle fingers be able to get itchy in the right way as well, we should probably really know our antique point correspondences just dead cold.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be thinking about these in the treatment room. When I first started, I had a list of these, all the points. And so I would kind of clandestinely look at them when I was in the treatment room. Because, I mean, the reason that you really want to focus on the actual diagnosis. And then once you already have the actual diagnosis, then, like I was saying before, my hand just gets itchy, and I just put these points in now. It's been 15 years of using the system. So, anything you can do to free your mind up for the diagnosis, and then the treatment just flows from that.
I mean, having a cheat sheet's not a bad idea. I can remember doing that early on in my acupuncture career. I had a clipboard with a couple of little cheat sheet charts that were underneath my notes. So I could just like, you know, lift up my clinic notes at any point and like take a quick look. Oh yeah, right. It's that one, right? What's opposite the clock of large intestine? Yeah. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that one. With this allergies scenario, would you treat just one side again? Or would you go for both?
Yeah, I mean, so the general heuristic for this is if it's a severe case, you can do both. Usually I start with just one side and for males on the left and females on the right.
It's not that many needles, is it?
No, but there's some doozies. You know, we end up with a lot of Jingwell points. So my patients know to kind of expect sometimes a little bit of discomfort, but it's really worth it for just the quick reaction. You know, especially pain syndromes or even allergies or something like that, it often shifts really quickly.
Do you ever add other sorts of ancillary points to help with something, or you just, you know, you're kind of like a Jingfang doctor, you know, it's like, I'm using the original formula and there's no modifications.
No, definitely. Like I was telling you before, Sa'am himself recommended a lot of like really complicated combinations, but a lot of times I'll do the same, right? You know, I'll just add, you know, TCM points to these. Oftentimes you don't need them, but every once in a while, you know, if I take one side on the patient and, you know, I don't want to do another full 4 points on the other side, I'll add like LI4 to a headache or something like that. So it's definitely compatible to a little bit of modification.
I hope you've been enjoying this conversation with Toby. I got to tell you, I've been working on this SOM acupuncture system myself, and I find myself falling back on the memory of listening to all those Taiwanese friends telling me, man, man, lai. Let me break this phrase down for you. Man, that's pronounced with a fourth falling tone. It means slow. Double up the word, man, man. It means like really slow. Lai, second tone. That means to arrive. Man, man, lai. Literally, slowly, slowly arrive. When I first heard this phrase, I thought it meant don't care so much or be lax. I was wrong. It means none of those. Slowly, slowly arrive means take your time and keep your focus. Be attentive to what you're working on. Move slowly enough to have a full experience. It means keep moving in the direction that you want to go. Be relentless and keep putting yourself in front of what you want. Man Man Lai means things don't come to fruition in 21 days or your money back like the internet promises. It means that experience ripens over time. It takes seasons, maybe even years, to unfold anything of value. Man Man Lai, slowly, slowly arrive, means keep moving toward your goal and eventually it will arise to meet you. It might even mow you down. I've been Man Man Lying myself into this SOM acupuncture stuff. Toby's article was really helpful, and you'll find it over on the show notes page. But I'm a slow learner, and I've had to rely on the occasional phone call with him to straighten out my clinical thinking with using the SOM acupuncture system. It occurred to me that the questions I've had about SOM might be questions that you'd have too. So recently, I phoned him up, turned on the microphone, and rolled some tape. We did a part two, and it really gets into some of the intricacies and ways of thinking about the clinical application of SOM acupuncture. For those of you that are interested, I've already posted that conversation up on the Patreon page. The Patreon page is where contributing subscribers to the podcast can not only help support the show with a $5 monthly subscription, but it also gets you some extra content, just like this part two with Toby. For more information, visit the Chiological website and click on the Patreon button. Oh, one more thing. At the end of today's conversation, there's a little taste of Toby's brilliance in part two. All right, let's get back to the rest of today's conversation. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that it's just four needles. I mean, even if they're uncomfortable needles, I mean, four needles, bang, 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 you know, have a snooze.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Like I said, I put all my effort into diagnosis and then the treatment plan just flows. So that's really nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's true. It's so true, isn't it? That if we've got our diagnosis down, often we don't have to think much about treatment because that just naturally arises. It's like asking a really good question certain kinds of answers just come right up.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about how you do your diagnosis.
I think my diagnosis got a lot more clear using the system. I do diagnosis like everyone else, pulse and tongue. I practice in the Shun Hammer pulse system. But it really makes you be sharp with your diagnosis. Because like I said, if you choose hot and the patient's cold, immediately you're going to have a whole bunch of problems. So it really sharpens up my... A lot of times, you know, we use like a TCM system. We can really, you know, go for a balancing treatment or harmonizing or something like that. You know, where you just kind of let the body do whatever it wants. You put a little push on it. This system is really, like I was saying before, you put all the chips in for your bet. So it's really made my diagnosis. I put a huge amount of making sure that that's right before I put the needles in.
And it sounds like you're basically using an 8 parameters kind of diagnosis. Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it interior? Is it exterior? Is it wet? Is it dry? These kinds of things.
Absolutely. But sometimes, you know, we give like a little nod to the 8 parameters, but this one, I mean, you definitely have to decide, is it internal? Is it external? Like we were talking before about for the allergies, about the stomach channel, right? We have to really decide. Is that dampness inside, or it's dryness on the outside? Then only then can we use the stomach channel.
How would you differentiate dampness on the inside versus dampness on the outside? What does that look like in a patient who walks in? How would they look different?
Right. I mean, so that's a great question. One of the easiest way is if someone's overweight, we always think about dampness on the inside. And then I look at the skin. I really check the skin a lot to see what the quality of the skin is. And then ask people, you know, do you use a lot of moisturizers, things like that? So a lot of times you can cover up really dry skin with like high quality moisturizer or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I always palpate and then also ask. So for that case, you know, dampness on the inside and dryness on the outside would be an obese patient with like really dry, flaky skin. That would be the clearest indication for that.
Right. That'd be like the exemplary person for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the opposite of them would be skinny.
Yes. And then really oily skin, right? So, right. Once I started diagnosing like this, I realized that all these clues are out there for us. But, you know, like before using the system, I never really paid that close attention to the skin. But now, you know, just at a glance, you can see if someone has really oily skin. Sometimes, they come in textbook, you know, bone thin and, you know, oily skin with acne and everything like that. And, you know, like I said, then my needle finger gets itchy pretty quick.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be like, good. That's easy. Textbook example. Here we go. Yeah. Everyone, you know what? It happens so rarely for me. Maybe I'm just not paying attention. But when something really textbook shows up, my first question is, what am I missing here? It's easy to second guess. Toby, what are some other kinds of things that maybe you used to not pay so much attention to, but because you've really worked on your diagnosis, because you've really learned to look and make these distinctions, what are some things that in the past you might not have noticed that these days they just stand right out?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we've been talking about, you know, the yin-yang pairing. So one of the main diagnoses I try and make it pay attention to when the patient first come in is how, like, passive or aggressive they are. That's an important differentiation for this system, too. You know, are they real meek? Are they, you know, really aggressive? And then we have to be really careful, too, because a lot of people, if they're meek, they try and puff themselves up to look a little aggressive. And sometimes really aggressive people, they... You know, especially when you first meet them, they really cover that up. So I think my ability to check if someone's going to be really passive or really aggressive has gotten much better, even when the patient's trying to cover a little bit.
What is it that you're looking for that helps you to suss that out?
That's a great question. I think, you know, body posture tells me a lot. Yeah, I would say the main thing is body posture. You can kind of fake your body posture for a minute or two, but then ultimately, you know, especially when you're interviewing them, if you pay close attention, the body posture within a minute or two, you'll start to see flashes of what they're really like.
Got it. And this, well, we'll just call it meek versus aggressive. How is that helpful to you in coming up with your diagnosis? What is it that points toward?
My teacher, the monk, he said the two archetypes for these is the librarian and Mike Tyson. So those are the two obvious ones, right? So I'm always trying to see, you know, are you fitting the librarian or the Mike Tyson monk? So that really lets me know about this for Chinese medicine, for this system. The pericardium has to do with that really passive librarian energy. And then the gallbladder, of course, has to do with the Mike Tyson energy. So a lot of times I'm trying to decide which one of those I'm going to take.
And so here we are with another of the great pairings, right? The Jian
right.
with the Xiaoyang.
It's such an obvious pairing to me. But before I learned the system, it never came up, this kind of pairing, in my experience.
And yet, so often in clinic, even with TCM, we see people treating Jian, Xiaoyang all the time, right? I mean, it's one of the reasons why things like Xiaoyao San are, you know, is so popular.
Right. It's just nice to work in such an explicit system, right? That clearly states why those two are paired.
I love this, the librarian versus Mike Tyson sort of image. That's really good. Have you got some other images that you use for, like, you know, I mean, let's say the Taiyang and Xiaoyin situation. I mean, that's, you know, I guess that's fire and ice, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. And then anything else come to mind besides the fire and ice, or we just leave it at that? So, you know, it sounds like lyrics to a great song.
It does sound like that. Yeah. So, I mean, like you were saying before, it's just all yin-yang pairing. So wet, dry, hot, cold, internal, external, all these kind of things. So I have more like ideas in my mind. But the images, for sure, the librarian and the Mike Tyson, that's pretty clear in my mind.
That's a good one. Hmm. And how do you see these emotional factors playing out in treatment, playing out in a patient's situation and their and in how they improve?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. A lot of times, you know, how I recommend certain things to patients, right, then based on if I'm explaining it to the librarian, right, I give, like, you know, all the reference text and why you should do this kind of thing, you know, why I should make that recommendation. And then Mike Tyson, usually I have to kind of like go in through the side door when I make any kind of recommendations for Mike Tyson, right? I got that type of patient, I have to make them think it's their idea. That they come up with their idea to make a dietary change or something like that. So I think, yeah, having that diagnosis is really helpful for how you present things to the patients.
Mm-hmm. So you've been doing this kind of acupuncture for 15 years.
Yes.
And you learned it from this wandering monk.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So is this wandering monk still teaching people? I mean, if somebody wanted to learn more about this, how would they go about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. My teacher, the monk, he taught me, you know, I met him in, like I was telling you before, in northern India. And then I, you know, I did some training with him in Korea. And then I'm up in Northern California. He's come to visit me a couple of times, saw patients with me in clinic. It was so great. Everything's so great, answering every one of my questions. And a couple of years ago, he stopped talking to me completely.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. As for him, this was a high compliment. He felt like I understood the medicine and I was in a great shape, so he wouldn't discuss it with me anymore. I didn't agree with this assessment. You know, I feel like I'm just still like a struggling to understand this medicine. But he cut off all contact and he won't answer any questions anymore or anything like that. So I guess supposedly this is a high compliment, but I'm not so sure about it.
Well, that's a really traditional kind of thing, isn't it? I mean, don't you usually get thrown out of the monastery once you're at a certain level of understanding?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't feel like I've reached any level of understanding, you know? So I think my teacher may have made an error in that.
Well, there is that possibility. There's something else that I've heard that goes something like this. If you really want to know something and learn it and understand it deeply, then teach it to someone else.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So are you doing any teaching?
a little bit, not too much formal teaching. But yeah, I mean, I was so happy that you asked me to come on the program because I really, it's not a very well-known system, but I think it's a good system. And so I'm eager for people to try it out. Recently, I wrote an article in the Journal of Chinese Medicine, the current issue, and this is spelled out in a lot more detail.
Uh-huh. So for those of you that are listening, this would be a really great place to start. Is to read Toby's article. Would it be possible to get a reprint of that that we could put on the show notes page so people could read that, or do they need to go to the Journal of Chinese Medicine to get it? Do you know?
Sure. You know, I don't know right now, but I could ask the Journal of Chinese Medicine. They're really great about reprinting articles and things like that. So I don't see why not. If they are okay with it, then for sure we'll just put it in the show notes.
That'd be great. I know. For myself, I really want to read this. And I'm so struck in talking with you how this fits in with a lot of this six-level confirmation stuff that I've been looking at lately that I thought was really only in the herbal tradition. But clearly, with this form of acupuncture, it's embedded in the acupuncture tradition as well.
Yeah, and I do a lot of herbs myself too, so it's really nice to have a system of diagnosis for both, right? You know, once you've diagnosed, then it's just clear what to do with acupuncture, it's clear what to do with herbs.
Having a sense of clarity in the clinic is such a delight, you know? I mean, I think we all work long and hard to gain that.
Yes, anything that can help in the clinic, I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too. In terms of, I mean, you were saying this is really good stuff for pain. Are there any other conditions that you think this style of acupuncture is particularly useful for?
You know, I use this system for like 90% of what I do. The 10% is when I'm just not sure, you know, I don't feel confident enough in the diagnosis to go all in. But it's really, it's pretty good for everything as long as it needs a strong treatment, mental stuff, emotional stuff, physical, you know, pain and things like that. It's pretty effective. And like I was telling you before, pretty quickly too.
So for those of us that think, oh yeah, acupuncture, it's just kind of harmonizing and regulating. You can't really take people down too bad of a road. It sounds like you would disagree.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I know from personal experience, you know, if you diagnose incorrectly and you take off the check, and you really tonify the mother of the wrong idea, you're in bad shape quickly. Like I said, it's nice because you have the safety mechanism. You can take the other channel, the other, you know, the opposite channel, the balancing channel, to correct that really quickly. But yeah, it's unpleasant for the patient when you make that kind of mistake.
I suspect it's even more unpleasant if you continue to make a mistake but don't realize that you're doing it.
Right, but it's so obvious. The mistake is so obvious. Yeah, it's unmistakable when you've gone in the wrong direction.
I'm actually taking that as good news.
Yes, right. It's really clear. It's like herbal medicine too. You know, if you kind of do a weak herbal formula,
you have no idea what you actually did.
Yeah, it's sort of working, but maybe not working or something like that. Whereas if you give a high dose fuzi, you know something's going to happen, right? Something's going to happen really good, or you know maybe something really bad. But for sure, you'll know. Is your idea correct or not?
That's right. Toby, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about this particular stream of acupuncture?
I'd like people just to try it. I like people to experiment with it a little bit in their clinic. Like I said before, especially, you know, you have something that's not responding normally to your usual treatments, then consider this as, you know, trying something different. And like you suggested too, the really adventurous practitioners out there. Yeah, I mean, maybe try, as soon as you listen to this, try this. Hopefully we can have the article and the downloads and you can look at, you can look at everything in the article. Everything's really well laid out.
Great. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, speaking of things that are clear and helpful, your nutritional strategies app is pretty cool.
Thanks a lot. I'm glad you like that.
Even though Toby has been a sponsor here, this is not an advertisement for the app, but I do want to talk about it for just a couple of minutes because I'm curious to know. I mean, you know, I know you've got this background in nutrition and all that. But whatever prompted you to take all of that particular knowledge and turn it into something that fits on your iPhone?
Right. So I heard about this after I did it, but one of the best ways to come up with something is to scratch your own itch. And so I was always interested in nutrition, like you can say from my background. But I was so frustrated, like Western nutrition, it's not personalized. It's not dialed in very well. You know, we just look at like the macronutrients and then combinations of those. And so when I came across the Chinese medicine system of the individual diagnosis for the patient, and then each food has its individual qualities, I was like fascinated with it. And so it was so hard though, because the information was in a lot of different books and some of it was incomplete, some of it was different. And so for my own use, I compiled everything all together in one spot. And then, you know, I met a great app developer. So basically I kind of made this app for myself, and then, you know, it's been great. A lot of other practitioners have really got a lot out of it.
It's, I also love that phrase, scratch your own itch. It can take us down some really interesting trails.
Yes.
And can be helpful to, you know, other practitioners as well. I know that it's really fun for me. In fact, I just used it yesterday. I've got this patient who is very blood deficient and very anxious and wound up, partly because of circumstances in her life and partly because she's, well, you know, blood deficient, right? And she works out every day. Right? And I tried to get her to take herbs, but, well, that's too inconvenient to put some powder in some water. So I was thinking, well, I wonder if I could just get her to eat, right? I asked her about what she's eating, and she's actually not eating that much. Smoothies and stuff like that, salads. And I'm thinking, God, if I could just get her to like to chow down on a burger every now and then or tuck into a steak, that would be great.
Yeah.
So I actually pulled out that nutritional app and, you know, put in blood deficiency and a few other things that I saw going on with her, some yin deficiency as well. And it was just like, you know what? I sent her home with this piece of paper. I just said, I'd like to see you eat more. I don't care what you eat, but try to make it things off this part of the list. And just leave it at that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's nice because, yeah, you can, the patient can leave with something, right? A list of things that you recommend. And then also the nice thing about the app, it will tell patients what not to eat too. So that comes into play too. It's been really helpful for my own clinics.
Well, maybe at some point we'll see a nice app for this acupuncture that you're doing too.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea.
just a little food for thought. Great. Well, Toby, I so appreciate you taking the time today. And this SOM acupuncture, like I said, I didn't know much about it. I just had kind of heard some things. You've really caught my attention with, in particular, how using this system is going to make your diagnosis skills get better.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Michael, for the opportunity to talk about it.
Hey friends, I hope you've enjoyed this discussion of SOM acupuncture. It's pretty interesting stuff. I promised you a little taste of what you get in part two with Toby. Check out this riff on the Sanjiao.
So a lot of times, if I have a patient that's really not very self-aware, especially my teacher really pointed out, not very polite, especially if the person's not really polite, doesn't do really social norms, you really need to supplement the Sanjiao energy in that case, because that will really help them with that inner concentration.
Wait a minute. You supplement the Sanjiao energy?
Yes. For that impolite, unaware person.
Because they're not looking outward?
They're not looking inward. The liver energy is the inward, cool energy.
So I'm confused here. If they don't have enough inward, cool energy going, why would you supplement the Sanjiao? Wouldn't you supplement the liver?
No, if you want someone to be polite, we would supplement the Sanjiao.
Really? Okay. This is great. I'm totally confused. Explain how that works.
This one has to do with like the piercing concentration aspect. Mm-hmm. That people, especially people that are impolite, not very socially aware, don't have. So my archetype for the Sanjiao type is the opposite of a monk, someone really socially unaware, no social graces, like knocking things over, just really unaware.
Got it. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does now.
It's a different way of looking at this, you know, a totally different lens. So, you know, you have to kind of put away usually how you think about the Sanjiao or the liver. And usually they're not paired, right? The system pairs them, so.
Hey, friends. Thanks for listening to Geological. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like it, share it with a few of your friends. And if you'd like to get more of this kind of content, I've got some extra stuff over on the Patreon page. The Patreon page allows you to help support the show by becoming a contributing subscriber. Subscribers to the show get some extra content. I got a few goodies over there that you won't find over here on the mainstream. If you're crazy about Geological, it's a way to get some extra content, and it's a way to help support the show, show your appreciation. As ever, thank you so much for listening. You're the reason that I do this podcast.